let me in. Shibop, shibop. I wanna be closer to you. Shibop, shibop. Open up your soul. Shibop, shibop. Let me find that part of you, the part that nobody ever knew.
Let me touch your.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Touch Your Mind, the show where we try to get you to be something, do something, experience something, enjoy something. And the ODC is something that one can enjoy time and time again. And there's so many things happening this summer. And here to talk about it, I'd like to welcome some of the people from that august organization. I'd like to welcome Kimi Okada and Brenda Way. Hello.
Hello there.
Hello.
How are you guys?
Good.
We're great. Thank you.
So I'm going to go alphabetically by first name. So Brenda, tell me a little bit about what it is that you do at ODC. And then Kimi, you tell our audience what it is you do. And then the both of you are going to tell me what's coming up that's going to make them super excited and happy.
Okay. Well, I started the organization 55 years ago, so what I do is whatever needs doing.
Okay.
My primary participation these days is choreographing and taking care of the amazing dancers of ODC, which is, of course, complicated with 11 talented people in the same room every day for 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I also participate in the thinking about the outreach and how we connect to new communities and how to amplify our role in the community as a center for healthy exchange. We have a clinic and we have a cafe. There are lots of other ways that we hope to contribute.
Okay.
Go, Kimi.
And I was one of Brenda's students in Oberlin 50-plus years ago and was an original member of the Oberlin Dance Collective, which
wow.
is what ODC stood for at the time. And I danced and choreographed with the company for a long time and then became the director of the school. So I direct the school. We have a large school that teaches up to 25 different kinds of dance. We have thousands of students. We teach ages from 2 to 18. So I direct the school. I'm also still the associate choreographer for the company, and I also direct our teen company, the ODC Dance Jam. So I wear a lot of hats at ODC.
Wow, wow. So since you guys have been doing this for so long, like, has the nature of dance in terms of how you instruct kids, has that changed, or have you noticed any changes in how people approach being trained to be dancers?
Well, I think we have always loved, I mean, we've always felt that dance is just has transformative power
mm-hmm.
for anybody, whether you're a young person or not, and just the actual act of moving and it's joyful, and doing that with somebody else
mm-hmm.
In the room and sharing that experience. For young people in particular, the opportunity to connect with your body and feel your body as an expressive, creative, physical medium is really special and important, and something that I think is something we've always believed in for kids, and really how the physical and the spiritual and the emotional can all be united in dance, and how powerful that can be as an experience for a young person in particular.
And we don't think it just applies to young people.
I could say the same thing.
So I'm very impressed by how long you guys have been doing it, and you've been doing programs throughout your history.
Yep.
So tell me a bit about the programs, because I know you have like a summer sampler and you have all kinds of programs happening, and I want to hear about all of them.
Well,
okay, well,
is a company, Jamie. A school, and a theater. So we have three parts to our organization, and we're all active. I've told you a little bit about the school.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the company is concerned, you know, we've been a professional contemporary dance company for decades. We have something in the summer called Summer Sampler, which we are about to open on Thursday. We have three performances at our own theater at Shotwell Street and 17th in the Mission, and
mm-hmm.
it is a chance to see our really spectacular dance company of 11 dancers do mixed pieces that is truly in the sampler tradition. So there's many, many different, you know, there are four pieces, and they're each by, they each have their own particular spirit and flavor and are very different. We have pieces by both Brenda and me, but we also have guest choreographers Sonia Del Wade and Dexandro Montalvo. Our shows are the three shows starting Thursday at 7:30. You can get tickets at the ODC Theater box office. And we're very excited to do this at our theater because we normally perform at Yerba Buena Center for the Arts, a big theater, and this is a chance to see our company up close and personal. And we're very physical and athletic, and you get such a visceral sense of being close to them, and it's very exciting to see these dances at this close range.
And Brenda, do you want to add anything to that?
Well, we'll get a little more specific. We have a piece that's inspired by Kimi's mother's letters from the camps in the Second World War.
Oh.
And
Japanese incarceration camps.
The Japanese internment camps.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a piece that's inspired by the freezing winters in Canada, which is a kind of a humorous take.
Okay.
And we have a more hip-hop inflected dance by Dexandro that really deals with the different intimate, interconnected relationships we have over the course of our life. And then the last piece is by me, and it was inspired by the crazy, violent headlines in the newspaper every day, and then followed by the kind of consolation we find in tender relationships. So there's a huge emotional range in this concert, which should be leaving open doors for whoever you bring and for yourself. I think that's an exciting way to approach it. I think for a lot of people, modern dance is a strange animal, and having this range of approaches and different emotional ideas in them, I think will be a very welcoming experience.
Okay. Well, I want to go back just for a moment to Kimi, and you said there are these letters that from your mom. Who were the letters to? And also, I know that it was an incredibly painful part of people's lives. And was your mom inclined to talk about it with you as you were growing up?
Okay, well, let me just go back historically. So World War II, my parents were from the Sacramento area. They had been married for 2 weeks before the executive order came out that all Japanese Americans were to be interned at relocation centers, they called them euphemistically.
Yeah.
And so my parents were shipped off to Tule Lake in the Eastern Sierras, and along with all of my family. And my mother was a civil servant. She worked for the Sacramento government, and she was a copious letter writer and keeper of records. And so she wrote on her typewriter, her Underwood typewriter, and kept kind of onion skin carbon copies of every single letter she ever wrote from camp.
Okay.
And these
so she wrote them
friends.
To her friends back home.
Yeah, they were mostly to friends back home. And so she had a great eye and very observant, but kind of a dry, understated wit to her voice. And I found all of these carbon copies of all of her letters. And they were just an amazing record of what day-to-day life was in the camp.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I think, kind of a revelation to me because my mother talked to me about camp, but she never really talked to me about camp.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't really tell me what was it like, and she didn't really ever voice any outrage or, you know, tell me about the hardships that she endured. And, you know, this, for me to suddenly, to have all these records of it was just a, you know, incredible gift for a window into what their lives were like. And, you know, Brenda was very close to my mother. And so I think that having a piece that we could collaborate on together that sort of honored my mother's history as, you know, what she went through, but also just as a person. And how she really chose to describe and live her life then.
So how many letters are we talking about?
Oh, wow. I'd say What do you think, Brenda? 100?
Yeah, I would say 100.
Wow. Have you considered publishing them?
Well, I've thought about donating them to the Japanese American Museum.
Oh,
actually,
that would be nice.
In L.A.
Yes. That would be lovely.
Yeah, they're everything from, you know, what it's like to, you know, stand in line in the canteen to, you know, lack of any privacy to,
sure.
You know, I would say that they were mostly more quotidian descriptions of daily life than deep reflective ruminations.
Mm-hmm.
But that was how she managed to cope. And that's kind of what this piece, you know, that's kind of the tack that we take is really how do you survive and how do you keep going in a situation that's as difficult as that was.
So when you now, you turn this into a dance piece, how do you explain to the kids who are doing this piece what the sort of emotional the emotional arc of it is, and do the kids even have a sense that this even happened?
Well, the dancers read the letters.
Oh, okay.
So, and we spent many hours sitting around talking about them, which, you know, I think you can never really inhabit another extreme experience,
mm-hmm.
but I think they got a feeling for May and how she saw this and how she managed to cope with it, because one of the things about May is she had an endlessly upbeat spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really a message and a model to these dancers who are participating in this piece. So they feel the constraints that she lived with, but they also feel her spirit for coping.
Got it. And Kimi?
And I think, yeah, I was going to say, too, that obviously there are so many parallels one can draw to everything that we experience in our times now that have to do with racism and immigrants and the difficulties that people are put in because of...
And even COVID.
So when you found these letters, were you able to discuss them with your mom, or had she already passed away?
I never really went through the letters with my mom. I wish I had. I really didn't look at them in huge detail until after she was gone.
Mm.
I knew they kind of existed, but I didn't, you know, for me, they were like buried under many, many things in her house.
Sure, sure.
And I came across them when I was, you know, collecting them. I knew they existed, but you know, it didn't really happen that I discovered them when she was still alive, to the point where I could actually ask her deep questions. She never really liked to talk about it, honestly, very much. It was not that she was trying to hide it, but she, you know, she was very much in the present.
Mm-hmm. Got it. So you do this piece, and you also mentioned the extreme cold in Canada. And so how many pieces are there altogether?
There are four.
Okay. And you have 11 people dancing with you. How do you choose your dancers?
Well, we audition and attract interest from dancers around the world, really. And we have a summer workshop often. Not every year, of course. Everything's been disrupted by the pandemic. But
sure.
During those workshops, people come and work with us just as an intensive experience. And that certainly lets us know who's out there. But in an audition, we will choose people who are interested not just in performing, but interested in our place in the world as
mm-hmm.
artists.
Okay.
We're attracted by courage and humor. You end up identifying people who have a sort of resonant spirit about being an artist in this world. But it is open to people around the world, especially these days. We're, in fact, looking at someone on Zoom today.
Wow. Okay, so...
And I think that we really look for people that stand out as individuals to be in our ensemble. Like, we're not looking for a cookie-cutter look
mm-hmm.
at all, like you have to have this kind of body type or that or whatever. We really value people for their different qualities in every way. And... you know, I think that we value that individual part very highly.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that you had a number of different You had a theater component, a dance component. For people out there who have kids who are really interested in dance, how do they get involved with ODC? What's the youngest age? What's the oldest age?
Well, we have classes starting for two-year-olds and go to age 18 in our youth program.
We go to age 96.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and we have senior classes.
I want to put in that the youth program is strong, but the adult program touches on the same creativity and appetite for moving and being together as the youth program.
Excellent, excellent. So how? So what do they do to, like, how do they enroll or sign up or audition?
They go to our website, odc.dance, and go to our school, youth teen program, and we have the whole brochure electronically of all the classes that we teach starting in September. We also have the Velveteen Rabbit, our classic holiday production that is great for families, that we open in early December, and there will be information there on that. We have kids who come from the school who perform in the cast with the company, and we have family-friendly events at our theater. We produce many, many companies at the theater, at our theater. And that's also available. All of this information is available on our website.
Okay.
We're about to do a major theater festival called State of Play, which opens at the beginning of August, which brings artists from around the country to our theater in San Francisco.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. So we're just about out of time, so I want to make sure to reinforce when and where for the ODC Summer Sampler.
Summer Sampler. It opens Thursday, July 20th, and runs Thursday, Friday, Saturday through the 22nd. You can get tickets at odc.dance/summersampler.
Excellent, excellent. And if there was one message you could leave an aspiring dancer, what would it be? And each of you gets a turn.
My advice always is don't leave the room.
Okay.
I would say, be courageous. Go for it.
Excellent. Well, Brenda Way and Kimi Okada, I want to thank you both for being on the show today, and especially thank you for sharing about the letters from the camps from your mom. I think that's amazing.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Marilyn.
All right. People of Earth, this is your opportunity. It is the ODC Summer Sampler. This is one of the pieces that they are going to be playing. This is called Collision, Collapse, and Coda. That's one of the pieces that will be danced to at the ODC Summer Sampler. It's called Collision, Collapse, and Coda. And that sound design is by Jay Cloyd. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. Who's about to touch your mind right now? Well, there's so many, you know, benefits and whatnot happening in and around the Bay Area. One of those things is being put on by the co-owner of Ounces Outdoors. Here to talk about lots of the stuff that's going on, I'd like to welcome JoJo Vaughn. Hello. I'd like to welcome JoJo Vaughn. How are you doing, JoJo?
I'm good, Marilyn. Thanks for having me on today.
Thank you for being on the show today. So you're the co-owner of Ounces Outdoors. What is that?
So Ounces Outdoors is a community-focused beer garden. So we're up at the Northgate Mall in San Rafael, and we just created this super friendly space that our vibe is it's like you're walking into the backyard of your friend's house. You can bring the kids, you can bring the dog. We've got amazing, great selection of beer, cider, and wine, good food. We've got bocce and cornhole. So it's the kind of place you can come in and have a quick drink by yourself, or you can come in with the whole gang and just spend the afternoon relaxing and enjoying yourself.
Okay, now what's cornhole?
So cornhole is a very popular game in the Midwest. Basically, there's two boards, and you're throwing what are essentially beanbags, or it's called cornhole because they used to be little sacks filled with corn. And it's a great game for drinking because you're only throwing with one hand, and the other hand you have your beer.
Okay.
They're going to not like me for saying this, it doesn't require a great amount of physical fitness, so it's something you can completely do with the kids. Now, we do have a cornhole league of professionals that come through every Thursday night, and they take it very seriously, but they're a great, fun bunch of people. So whatever level, you can come and enjoy yourselves.
All right. So now I understand that you guys are doing a Summer Beats Festival, and tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so up at the Northgate Mall, it's a concert series that they used to do every summer. And obviously with COVID, it sort of wound down and ended up not happening for a few years. And so this is the first year that we are really getting involved. And it's going to be every Saturday in August from 4 until 8.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely free, so you can just come and enjoy the music. We're going to have a vendor row set up, so there's going to be some fantastic local artisans and craft things that you can peruse and shop.
Mm-hmm.
We also are going to have a kids zone, so the kids are going to be entertained. We've ended up working with a lot of the local independent businesses that are in the mall to sort of set up a kids area so you can keep the kids busy. And we have some fantastic bands. We're going to have two acts every Saturday starting at 4 o'clock. So an opening band can be playing for about an hour, and then a headlining band. And we're really aiming to have some fun, high-energy dance bands that you can sing along with. So, yeah, it should be a great afternoon for everybody.
Excellent. And I understand that that there's going to be some raffles and prizes that benefit Believe Music Heals.
Yeah, exactly. So we're super happy to be partnered up with the Magic Flute and Believe Music Heals.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody loves a raffle. And so there's going to be plenty of opportunities to purchase tickets, and 100% of the raffle ticket proceeds go straight to Believe Music Heals. It's got some fantastic prizes donated from the Magic Flute, some wineries, obviously some beer, some coupons. So super fun stuff that you can really get involved in. And the raffles will be running throughout the entire evening, so there'll be plenty of chances for people to win.
Okay. And I understand it's also dog-friendly?
Yes, yeah, so we do love our pups.
Uh-huh.
So definitely bring the dogs out. There's plenty of water bowls, treats, and pets for all of the pups to have when they come and visit.
Okay, so I'm looking at the lineup for the month of August, and I'm really enjoying some of the names of the bands, like
yes.
Grateful Tuna and School of Rock and Moonstruck. And all of these bands, they're all local bands?
Yeah, they're all local. So, and every Saturday, it's a slightly different band coming.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Key Lime
the
Pie.
First weekend, slightly different vibe. We have So Grateful Tuna, so they do some cover songs, Hot Tuna. They're going to have some Dead songs covered as well by the Live Oaks. So some of your 50s, your 60s, 70s, all fun cover songs that you're going to know.
Okay.
And then on the 12th, School of Rock is actually a sort of a kids' camp school program.
Oh, nice.
And so the performance is actually from the show band. So the kids age from sort of 12 to 18, and they have to audition to get into the show band. And then once they pass that audition, then they pick their own songs and practice. So it's a really fun way to... You know, you never know. You might see some up-and-coming talent. They're right there at Ounces Outdoors.
So. I love kid bands because they're so earnest and they really commit. Yeah.
Yeah.
And go on with the... And you've got Moonstruck and...
Moonstruck are fun. So they're your just quintessential, like, almost wedding band where they're just up there. They're having an absolute blast.
Mm-hmm.
They're singing songs from Beyonce, Nicki Minaj. So definitely we'll get everybody up and jumping around.
We had the Magic Flute Restringathon people talking about that along with S's and Friends.
Exactly. On the 19th, it's just like the absolute epic day. So the music actually going to be starting at 2 with the Magic Flutes restringing event.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where donation-based, you can get your guitars restrung for a donation to Believe Music Heals. And so that's going to be just the big party day. And that will be ending with Black Sheep Brass Band, who are I want to say New Orleans style marching band. And so we're anticipating them to jump off the stage and just get up and into the audience and into the crowd. So,
and who's Key Lime Pie? Who's Key Lime Pie?
Yeah, Key Lime Pie. They're a local band. Again, just super fun, singing some great cover songs, sort of rock with a Latino vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been playing in Marin for a number of years. So they have a great following and good fan base.
Okay. And then on the 26th? Of August?
On the 26th, we have Eric Mafadden, who is a phenomenal guitarist. Absolutely just, he's actually touring in France right now. He's coming back to the U.S. at the end of the summer, and he's going to be bringing on a special guest, but just someone mind-blowingly talented. And then he's going to be opening for My So-Called Band, which are a fun 90s cover band. So
they're
going to be singing definitely some songs we all used to know, and I think they might be ending their set with Jump Around from House of Pain. So again, make sure when you come, you've got your comfy clothes on for dancing because you're going to be up and moving.
And that's great. And it's all kid-friendly and dog-friendly, yes?
Kid-friendly, dog-friendly, and free. So it's really just for the community. You know, you can come down, you can get your spot at Ounces, or you can come down and bring your picnic blanket and just perch up on the AstroTurf and hang out for the afternoon.
And so for our listening audience who's now, they've decided that they're going to go, so where is it?
Yeah, so it's up at the Northgate Mall, which is in North San Rafael, so up over the hill from downtown. Plenty of parking, super easy access. You can even take the SMART train to our location. And then we are on the far side of the mall, so you'll probably get to hear the music if you're coming over.
And for our listening audience, the Northgate, it's at 5800 Northgate Drive in San Rafael, yes?
Exactly, that's right, yep.
Okay, and that's happening every Saturday, and they can just show up and it'll be awesome, yes?
Show up and it'll be awesome. We have Ounces Outdoors has food. So there'll be food to buy. We'll have a pop-up beer tent with cider, wine, and soft drinks. We're also going to have Soberman's ice cream there. So the warm day, you can definitely cool down with some of that. Johnny's Donuts will also be making an appearance. So you can re-energize, so you can keep on dancing with some donuts.
Excellent. How long had that been going on before the pandemic came along?
I believe it'd been building up to probably around 5 or 6 years the series has been happening, and I know it used to be like a very popular thing for the whole neighborhood to get behind. So we're excited to bring it back and make it bigger and better than ever.
And are there any like COVID protocols or anything that people should keep in mind when they come to the events?
No, so it's fully outdoors. So it's really nice is that, you know, there's nothing indoors. So there's plenty of airspace for everybody. Obviously, you know, make sure everyone's your own comfort level, but there's nothing that needs to be followed.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, JoJo Vaughn, I want to thank you so much for talking about the events that are going on in San Rafael. And it just sounds like it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Thank you, Marilyn. Appreciate you.
All right. People of Earth, this is the Summer Beats Festival every Saturday in August. Kid-friendly, dog-friendly, and apparently beer-friendly. It's just going to be a giant party.
We are the Wild Magnolias. Came to sing you a song. Give us your attention. Try to groove along. Song we about to play, y'all. Here's a thing that we do at home. We get some wine and some women. Start acting kind of crazy.
soul's gone sold. We've got a doggone beat now. We're gonna call our very own. Nassau rock and Nassau roll. Nassau's got a whole lot of soul. Feel alright. Mini skirts, maxi skirts, and afro hairdo. People doing their own thing, don't care about me or you. Nassau's gone funky. Nassau's got soul now. Oh yeah. And we've got a doggone beat now. We're gonna take care of business too. Listen to the drummer playing his beat. Listen to the bass man. Go get that same groove every.
You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. That's the beginning of the end and Funky Nassau. That is from Atlantic Rhythm and Blues 1947 and 1974. Before that, we heard the Wild Magnolias and Party. That's from Doctors, Professors, Kings and Queens. The something-something of New Orleans. I'm sorry, the big old box of New Orleans. And that's amazing, amazing, amazing. Also amazing, my next guest, who I was very lucky to hear from today. I was like, sometimes I plan the show, and then I'm like, who am I going to interview? And then, as if manna from heaven, I get a call from the very lovely and talented and shapely and gifted Donald E. Lacey, welcome.
Wow, I've never been called manna from heaven.
So, Donald,
how are you, beautiful?
I'm doing great. How about you, handsome?
Well, every day I wake up is a good day, and Funky Nassau used to be the jam, by the way. I was over here gigging.
I know. So for those of you who have been under a rock or something like that, Donald Lacey is one of our very own, and he's also an amazing, talented performer and comedian. He does all kinds of things, and he's in a show that's coming up, and I'm just going to let you run with it. Tell our listening audience all about it.
Well, you're so nice and sweet. In fact, my PR person is fired. Do you want his job? you're way better. But there's a great black woman, young writer in San Francisco, and she just got this prestigious award from the San Francisco Playwrights Foundation. I've known her about 3 or 4 years now. I mean, her name is Star Finch,
mm-hmm.
and she is just an unbelievable talented writer, and she's wrote this interesting play that we've been developing for a couple of years with her now, we being Campo Santo at the Magic Theater, where I've been a proud member of Campo Santo for 22 years. But it's called Josephine's Feast, and it opens August 2nd through August 20th at the Magic Theater. And it's an incredible story about women. A woman played by the fabulous Margot Hall, who Bay Area Theater knows, and she's also the artistic director of the Lorraine Hansberry Theater. And it's just about women being seen, women being free to make their own life choices, and how sometimes men, you know, are captors, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she plays this wonderful character who, after raising her kids, decides, I want to do things my way. And she has this huge dinner, without giving too much away, and invites my character. I play her brother and her daughters, and her nephew, my young man who plays my son, to make this big announcement about this life-changing event. And it's just an incredible story. And everyone who comes to the play will see their family. And of course, it's a Black family, but I think the universal theme is it's about all families. So it's an amazing play, and I'm really honored to be part of it.
So you mentioned that you've been working on it for years. So, like, I don't understand. So explain that process.
Sure, and that's a great question. Well, you know, the playwright comes up with the first draft, and then we workshop it for about a week. And by years, I mean over a period of years. We'll do a week workshop. Then we'll come back to it a few months later with another draft and read it aloud with actors and workshop it again until we get it. You know, we only do new world premiere plays, by the way, I should have said. And this is a new world premiere play. And then when it's ready to go in a rehearsal, then we get it on its feet, and then, you know, she's still doing rewrites even during rehearsal, which we're in now.
Wow.
And by the way, the director is a fabulous Black woman, Ellen Sebastian Chang, who, by the way, without dating her, over 30 years ago, was the first Black person to ever direct a play at the Magic Theater.
Oh, really?
So kind of. She's come full circle, and she is one of my favorite directors to work with. She's such a quality human being, and man, we've been getting so deep in rehearsal. I get home, girl, I'm getting too old. I'll be falling asleep on the couch. They wear me out.
Okay, so I want to go back to the workshopping thing. So what happens in a workshop when you're working on a play? Because I know there are people out there who are writing the next great American play, but they don't have the first idea of what they're doing. So what happens during a workshop?
Well, again, that's a great question. And, you know, you literally, Campo Santo, for the 22 years I've been a member, we always develop plays like this. We develop plays like this with the great Dennis Johnson, and he wrote an epic called Soul of a Horror, which was a three-act play. We workshop that thing over and over, and what happens, the actors sit down, you read the script aloud, and then we do table work, which means we just sit at the table and analyze the arc of the story.
Mm.
We analyze the characters, and the great thing about working at Campo Santo, the actors are encouraged to give their input. You know, what do you think about your character? What would he say, or he, she would say right here, or whatever. So it's really a collaborative process, and everybody's input is encouraged. And then and table work to me is just fun. I love digging, and especially when you have the writer and the director there, digging into the meaning of what the play is, what the scene is, what your character is. And for any actor, you very seldom anywhere else you work get the opportunity to give input like that.
Right.
So that's pretty much what goes down in a workshop, and nobody dies. There may be some crying going on because we usually do deep emotional pieces, but hey, man, pain is good for your soul.
So how do you, when you're doing that table work like that, how do the people who are writing that keep it from being, because I know when you work on something, it's very precious to you. It's like your baby. So how do you,
sure.
how do you keep the natural protectiveness from taking over or defensiveness about what you've written? How, like, how do you manage that?
Well, you know, your questions are so good, I feel like I should do the caveat. Wow, that's another great question. No, but that's it. And really, I can honestly say to you on your show that most of the writers we work with have been egoless that way and are open to suggestion. Now, we might get into disagreements about, well, no, I want to keep that line because of da-da-da-da. But the great thing, again, about working at Campo Santo, it's a true collaborative. And we talk it out until we figure it out. And the other thing I'll say, everybody at the table, no one's person opinion is valued over another's. We're all valued equally. So when you have that as the paradigm, people feel comfortable to share their feelings, share their ideas without, that's garbage or whatever.
Uh-huh.
You know? So it makes it really conducive to true collaboration, and that's why I've been working there for over 20 years.
Wow. Okay, so again, for our listening audience, when is this all happening and where?
Well,
at what time?
I hope you can come opening night press night, because I think after knowing you for over 30 years,
uh-huh.
how long? We've known each other a long time.
Yeah.
I know your artistic sensibility, and we've talked about Star Trek and different things, but some of the lines in this show are so memorable, you're going to walk away. Like one line Josephine's character says, regret. How does it go? She said, regret can be a very sad thing.
Uh-huh.
But it opens August 2nd, first preview through August 20th, Wednesday through Saturdays, 8 p.m., Sunday matinee at 3 p.m., and you can get your tickets by going www.magictheaterwithane.org. And man, I am really proud of this play, of the writer. She is amazing. And a lot of, really, even though there are two males, this is really a story about women and the way women are viewed, treated in a male-dominated society. So I'm really encouraging all the ladies to come out and see this, because a lot of you will see your stories and your life trajectories in this. And that's what makes Star Finch such a great genius, I'll even say writer, because an audience will come in there and see themselves in this family. I guarantee it.
Excellent. So, Donald, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. And hey, if people want to follow what you're doing, how do they go about doing that?
Well, they can stalk me by, no, I'm just kidding. They can go to Donald Lacey Jr. on my IG or Donald Lacey on Facebook. And, you know, I love listening to your show. You're a music historian in the mode of JJ on the radio. And you're very, just a sweetheart. And thank you so much for having me. And I'm hoping you can get some of the ladies on in the coming weeks, because it would be a great conversation to hear you talk to them.
Well, we're going to make that happen. So thank you for putting it on everybody's radar.
I love you dearly. You're fabulous. Thank
Back
you
at you,
so
babe.
Much.
All right. People of Earth, this is your opportunity. And you got all the information. You know what to do. It's all about the ladies.
Talking about you a main, always ready to go. Now when it comes to moving, babe, you're awful slow and holler. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, and holler. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, I'm a W-O-M-A-E. A woman. Nothing in your pockets to keep me alive, but I got something for all you men to make you cry and holler. Oh, oh, oh.
Etta James and Woman. We're going to hear some musical stuff, and I am taking off. So until next week, my friends, ta-ta and toodly-doo.
Down, down.